The last 3 months, I've just been saying, "Hear the gospel," which is what I've been meant to be saying. And I said it to you, the milk of the gospel, the meat of the gospel. I said it to you from different places, from the book of Romans, from Galatians, Colossians. Gospel being when you believe Christ died for your sins. When you had that faith in Christ given to you by God, then, and when you confessed that with your mouth, the Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ, and your spirit, the center part of you, was made in union with Christ. When the spiritual union got set up, Christ got your sin, you got his righteousness. That union was set up when Christ was on the cross. Then you died with Christ, got raised with Christ. When you died with Christ, God declared on your account, because you were dead, and he saw Christ's righteousness, he declared you righteous, and he got raised from the dead with Christ. So your spirit, your inside, got born again of God. Christ got your sin, he went to hell, paid for it. Hades, he went to hell, paid for it. You got Christ's righteousness, God declared you righteous. You got raised from the dead with Christ. So your spirit got born again of God. So your spirit sanctified. You've been redeemed. You've bought back from Satan, who had legal right to your soul because of your sin. So you got redeemed. You got justified because God declared you righteous, and you got sanctified on the inside. Then you got the deposit of the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing your inheritance. And what I've just said, you got your sins forgiven, redeemed, you got declared righteous, justified, you got born again on the inside, sanctified. That is all your inheritance. And your inheritance, once you believe Christ died for your sins, it's sealed, it's in the bag, you can't spoil it, it gets laminated. Explained, the way it gets laminated is that when you die with Christ, it's only your spirit that dies, your flesh doesn't die. So your spirit dies, but your flesh doesn't. Your sinful flesh doesn't die, but your spirit does. Like, you were, God made you a person, which means you've got body, soul and spirit. You've got a physical body and you've got a soul that inhabits your body. The center of your soul is your spirit. So the center of your person got killed, but the rest of you didn't get killed. Which means there's a mismatch between what happened to your spirit and what happened to your flesh. So your spirit died to your flesh, but from your spirit's point of view, like, your flesh died, because when your spirit died to your flesh, they got separated in being alive to each other, and effectively your flesh died to your spirit. And that's why Paul says to the Colossians that you've put off your sinful flesh, and that's why Paul says to the Romans your body of sin has been destroyed, and that's why Paul also says to the Romans that he's been delivered from the body of this death, which was experienced death because he only sinned. Every time he put himself under law, he failed at his attempts to keep the law and experienced death regarding his efforts. Paul said that his body of sin has been destroyed, his body of death has been destroyed, he's put off the body of sins of the flesh because his flesh died to his spirit. Paul calls that the circumcision of Christ. It's a spiritual circumcision, part of your spirit. A part of your spiritual person was cut off, one from the other. The reason it's important is it's because it's what God sees as you. So you were a person that stood before God, and you were a sinner, and God turned his face from you because of your sin. But then your center of the person that you were died. And as far as God's concerned, the center died, and so the man died, or the woman died. The person died before God. Then God brought your spirit back to life, and so you are a new creation in Christ. The way God sees it is you are that new creation in Christ. Your identity is with your inside part, your spirit. God sees you as dead and being resurrected again. So the eye that he sees that is you is the eye that died to your flesh, and he considers that you have put off your sinful flesh. So all those things that Paul said, Paul didn't just come out with it, it's what he reckoned. Paul was told that by Christ, and Christ said it to Paul because God said it to Christ. And this is what God reckons. God reckons your body of sin has been destroyed. God reckons you have put off your body of death. God reckons you have put off your body of the sins of the flesh. So God sees you as having put off your sinful flesh, as that sinful flesh being destroyed. I get the argument that someone can say, well, they've still got their sinful flesh. It's like their sinful flesh is still it's still visible to them, but they have died to it. It's a question of if they're alive to the sinful flesh or if they're dead to it, and they're dead to it. So although your sinful flesh is still there and you walk around in that vessel, God does not accredit any sin, any acts of sin done in your sinful flesh. He doesn't accredit it to your account because he doesn't consider it as you. So that means that when you died with Christ and God declared you righteous, at the same time as God declaring you righteous, you also got your sinful flesh, and you also put off your sinful flesh, which means you got declared righteous. And then before God, you can't add any sin to your account anymore. So as soon as you got made righteous, you can't add sin onto your account before God anymore. So which means you can't spoil your righteousness, which means your righteousness is sealed. So that is the meat of the gospel, which I've said so many times, but that's my main job, to tell you that thing, right? Last week was a bit different in that I was told to say that, but I also had to talk about the presence of God, which, you know, it was time for me to do that. It's easy for me to talk, well, given the grace to do it, it's easy to talk about the gospel because there's so much word of God about it. I've told you from Romans, Galatians, like Colossians, all of Paul's letters. To talk to you about the presence of God, there is still word of God about it, but there's not as much as about the gospel. That's why it feels easier for me to tell you about the gospel, because there's so much like material to speak about it from. Still spoke to you last time about the presence of God, but I was told that I had to say from my experience about the presence of God. And as far as I want to stand there and deliver the word of God to you, so I'm not interested in deliver the word of Chris. It's like, I want to deliver the word of God. But last time I was told, I considered that I was told to tell you about my experience with the presence of God, and since I was told to tell you it by God, then it can still be word of God that I've told you, even if I haven't referred, even if it's not straight from the written word of God. It was all in accordance and agreement with the written word of God. It was just spoken word of God instead of straight from the written word of God. Okay, so I did the thing. I did what I was told. I'm told to do the same thing again, which was while I was smiling when I came in, because it's like, feels like I have hardly got anything to say about it, because, you know, I've stood here and I've told you the stuff from the written word of God. I've got so much stuff to use to talk about the presence of God. Since I'm told to do it, it's still doable, but it's just different. So, okay. What I said last time was, when I've explained to you how you've had your sin forgiven, you're righteous before God, you have peace with God. That's important for you to know, because, you know, it explains to you the imminent thing you were in need of before you believed Christ died for your sins. It explains to you how God's anger has been cancelled towards you. It explains how the nasty thing that was headed your direction from God because of your sin, that's cancelled. And then I also gone a bit further and said, you have peace with God. So, you know, you have peace with God. But the main thing that happened when you believe Christ died for your sins is that you were baptized into Christ, and God set up a relationship between you and Christ. Your spirit was joined with Christ. That's the main thing that happened. Your spirit was joined with Christ. And what flowed from that is you got your sins forgiven. You got made righteous. You got born again. You received the Holy Spirit. It all flowed from this thing about you getting baptized into Christ, your spirit being joined with Christ. So what flowed from that is how the wrath of God towards you got cancelled. You are straight with God. You have peace with God. But for what purpose? Like, for the purpose of you having a relationship with God. That's the point. I've explained to you how your relationship with God's protected, but the primary thing that happens to you when you believe Christ died for sins is that God baptized you into Christ. Your inside got joined to Christ. So your inside's joined to Christ. How that works on the church-wide thing is that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and the church is the bride of Christ. The church is Christ's bride. And when Paul says that the fullness of times, your Christ will marry that bride, and there will be a marriage ceremony, which is what Jesus talks about, the marriage supper of the Lamb. That will happen. But you are individual members of the church, and the church is the bride of Christ, and you have that relationship individually with Christ. That's what you are, a Christian, and a Christian is someone that is in Christ. And your spirit is in Christ. Christ being your head, that's the order. But the bigger picture is that Christ the head in the marriage union, which has been started in the fact that it's spiritually been set up, but it hasn't been consummated in the fact that the marriage supper hasn't happened, that the marriage hasn't happened, but you are the bride of Christ. The engagement's happened. That is what Christ is to you. Christ is your head. But you are a part of the church, and the church is the bride of Christ, and you are in Christ. So the primary thing is you have a relationship with Christ. I didn't like using the word relationship because of the way the established church abuses the word relationship to try to get works by using it. But I have to describe it as that. Your spirit's made in union with Christ. You are joined with Christ in your spirit. And it's in a marriage union with Christ. And you are part of the bride of Christ. And you have a relationship with Christ. Now, Christ was raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God. So Christ submits to God. You are in Christ. God has made you submit to Christ in the fact that he has made you born again, made you in union with Christ. But the union with Christ has happened in a certain way, where it's a marriage union, where Christ is the head and the church is in subjection to the head. So when you were born again, the union in which you were born into was your spirit was made to be in subjection to the head. So God made your spirit submit to Christ. So you don't have to try to submit to Christ. You in your spirit do submit to Christ. That is the truth. Christ submits to God. So God has made your spirit submit to him. So the primary thing that happened to you when you believe Christ died for your sins is that a relationship got set up between you and God. That is it. And it's not that you should relate to God. That's what you are. So what you naturally, spiritually want to do is relate to God. So, so that relationship, God first approached you when you were walking around like in your sin. God first approached you. He set up you hearing the gospel. He sent faith in your direction. He approached you. He gave you the grace to respond to him. You confessed with your mouth, you believe Christ died for your sins, and then you got baptized into God baptized you into Christ. So God came to you. He related to you and you responded back. And then when somebody told you, hey, you've had your sins forgiven, God was in that person to declare to you you'd had your sin forgiven. And then you might have said thanks back, or you might have smiled, and God knew that that meant that you liked what had happened. So you related back to God. And then since then, God sent his Holy Spirit to live within you, and the Holy Spirit bears his fruit according to the grace of God. And each time the Holy Spirit bears his fruit, that's God relating to you, because God's the one that controls the Holy Spirit bearing his fruit in you. Every time you have peace and joy, that is God relating to you. Now, in that relating to you, God's presence manifests. So in the general, the Holy Spirit bearing his fruit with you, his fruit in you, the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. So all those things that the Holy Spirit can just work in you and make you want to do. So the Holy Spirit can just give you peace. He can make you joyful. He can give you a love for brother, or he can give you a love for God. You can just, those things are meant to pop out of you according to the grace given. Every time that they do, that's God relating to you. And associate with God relating to you is God making his presence manifest in whatever way he wants. So there's like a general manifestation of the presence of God in him bearing the fruit in you. So God can make you peaceful, and you can go, you can either, you notice it and want to boldly declare to God, thanks very much for that peace. And then, so he relates to you and giving you the peace, and you relate back. Or you can know it's God, and in your heart you can go, that's very nice, without saying anything to God, but God still knows you're relating to him. So what I want to say is, you do relate to God, even if you don't consider that you relate to God very much. You do relate to God loads, in that if you make any small moves in a response to God, if God bears his fruit in you, that's him relating to you. If you smile or say thanks, if you say thanks, that's like a big way of relating back. Or if you smile in acknowledgement, and God knows what that is, it's you relating back to him, and then he can give you joy that you like the peace, and then you can smile back, and then he relates to you, and you relate to him, and he relates to you, and you relate to him. So you don't have to consider that you do big relating things to relate to God. If you do any small things, which you do, then you do relate to God, and that relationship is the backwards and forwards of God relating to you, you relating to God, God relating to you, you relating to God. That is the relationship. So God relates to you in the bearing of his fruits in you. Also, when you stand upon the righteousness of God, Paul says that's your fruit into holiness, and the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. And the love of God is a tangible thing, and God can relate to you in that way. When you stand upon the righteousness of God, God can shed abroad his love in your heart, and you can sort of know in your heart a bit of a different feeling than peace or joy. It's sort of something to do with a spark, electric spark, something to do with God's real and you are righteous. God can testify to your righteousness in that way. And I've said in worship, if you worship God, it amplifies that love spread abroad in your heart. The love spread abroad in your heart was when you stood upon the righteousness of God and you glorified God that way. It makes sense that presence of God, that love of God, is amplified in worship, which is the primary place where God gets glory in a certain way. So it's another way of God's presence manifesting in him. He gives you the faith to stand upon the righteousness of God. When Satan says to you, you're not righteous, you go, I am righteous. God tells you that you're righteous, you stand upon the righteousness of God, so God relates to you, you relate back. Then when you stand upon the righteousness of God, God testifies that you indeed are righteous, you made the right decision, you are righteous, he sheds that love abroad in your eye, he responds to you, you go, that feels nice. Or you just carry on going, but you know that God's testified to you and says that you're righteous, so you relate back to him. And also God can work in your brother or your sister to show brotherly love towards you, and you can go, so that's God relating to you through the Holy Spirit in a brother or sister, and then you can go, that's very nice to your brother, knowing that that's from God. Or you can say, that's very nice from God. So I'm going to describe all the little ways you can relate to God, so you do relate to God even if you don't consider that you relate to God lots. You don't have to speak to God to relate to him. You can, you know, like, if two friends that know each other very well, one can walk into a room where the other one's there, and they can relate loads before even speaking. So the person goes in, first person in the room nods their head, the other one goes, so then they don't have to speak. So, you know, if you want to speak to God, then, you know, to say thanks, or you share with them something that's on your mind or something like that, then, you know, that is relating to God. But if you feel like you don't do that often, then you still relate to God. In God sees all the smiles, thanks, heart, acknowledging something, thanks, you acknowledging God in other people, that somebody was really nice to you and very kind to you because of God, and you like that God in them, and you know it's God, and you acknowledge that. If you acknowledge any of that stuff, God sees all that stuff in your heart, so you relate to God in all those ways anyway. So I want to talk about relating to God, but you know you're not meant to be condemned that you don't relate to God. If you relate to God in lots of little ways, then you do relate to God, and you know it's not really, you know, if you want to speak to God, but false speaking to God, speaking to God just because you think you should, that's like, you know, a friend can tell if you're just speaking to them because you think you should. If you're not really, if you're just, your mouth's moving, but you're not really listening to them more. You know, sometimes you don't need to speak to somebody. They're just in the room and you nod, and that's still relating in a high way. You're actually relating really. So you don't have to speak, but you can speak. Right. So you will have related to God the way you have related to God in the last week, year, and that is according to the grace given to you. Okay? So, Paul says, a portion of grace has been given to you, you know, according to the measure of Christ, and you will relate to God and stand on the righteousness of God, you know, in proportion to the grace given to you. It's not true that you should relate to God more, because, you know, you didn't. It's not true that you should stand upon the righteousness of God, or you should bear fruits. It's the Holy Spirit's job to bear those fruits in you. The grace of God is irresistible in that it, when it's sent in your direction, it hits you and it gives you 100% of the stuff you need to do the thing. So you don't have to go, the grace of God is 99% and you need 1%, you know, in order to activate it. Like, you relate to God the way that he has given you the grace to relate to him, okay? A final thing on you relating to God, if you have been hungry for God, if you have been hungry for the presence of God or to receive teaching from God, that is also God coming to you. Like, the word of God says that your flesh can't please God. Your flesh is not hungry for the word of God or hungry for God. So if you are hungry for God or for the word of God, or have wanted the word of God and you had a big feast one day and you acknowledge it's from God, then that is God making you hungry in the first place, and then you saying, I want to find the meeting, and then you relating back to God saying, well, I'm here, and then God in the speaker relating to you, and then you saying, I agree, and eating it, and you relating back to God. That's all God relating to you, you relating back to God. So that's all counted in relating to God as well. Okay, so you arrived today and you have related to God the way you have in the last week, in the last month. Okay, the thing that I want to say today is, if you would like to relate to God more today, more in the next week, more in the next month, then you can, according to the grace given to you. And so if you're sitting there and you actually do want to, it's because God has given you that hunger. Because you don't want it for yourself, because your flesh doesn't want to relate to God. So if you were sitting there and you are hungry to relate to God more, or to experience the presence of God more, and the presence of God is God manifesting when he relates to you. If you want to relate to God more, or feel the presence of God more, which happens when he relates to you in whatever way he chooses, then you can today. And it's like I'm often said, it's not wise to say you can today, because, like, what if I promise and then God doesn't turn up? The thing that I'm saying is fail-safe, because, like I meant to just say it in faith anyway, but every time it always works. And it always works because what I'm talking about is if you actually want to, and I know that you only actually want to if God has actually made you hungry. So it can't fail. So if I speak to you and say, are you actually hungry to relate to God more? And you go, yeah, I am that hungry. It's like, that doesn't come from you, so it's come from God, which means, it means he's already started the thing. So I'm not banking on something that is a bit risky. Which I finally sussed out before I started speaking, because that was the most apparently risky thing for me to say. And it's like, Chris, have you seen this thing? Then they can't be hungry unless I've made them hungry. And if I've made them hungry, then of course I'm going to turn up. So, which is why they're sort of like hysterical smiling coming in, because it's just, I'm just tired of thinking about it and stuff. But I've got to the end of, like, it's hysterically funny in the way, in the hysterical being, I'm just tired and I can't bother to think about it anymore. So I'm to tell you how to do it, and God either relates to you just because he wants to, nothing to do with you relating to him, or he relates to you in response to you relating back to him. So the thing that I encourage you to do straight off, if you want to relate to God more, if you want to know the presence of God more, which is associated with him relating to you, because he makes manifest in whatever way he chooses, whether the peace of God or the love of God, he makes manifest himself whatever way he wants to when he relates to you. It's in him relating to you, and it's not to give you a nice feeling. It's associated with the way he wants to relate to you, and it's God's choice. But the thing that I encourage you to do is to respond to God in the thing that he's already been telling you. That is the thing. So It's not true, right, that you've arrived today and you're hungry to speak to God, but God's like gone on holiday or something and he hasn't been getting back to you for like 2 weeks. Because like, that's the wrong way around, right? If you're hungry to relate to God more, it's because God's put that on your heart to do that thing. But also, he's not slow at getting back to you. So the last time you relate, so God can either relate to you just because he wants nothing to do with you, relate to him, or he can relate to you in response to you the last time you relate to him. So if God's already been saying to you something like, John, like, I love you, like, from God. If God's already been doing that and what you've got the desire for is to relate to him, then it could well be to the desire that you, that the hunger that you have to relate to God could be to do with the thing that he's been gently saying to you. Because it makes sense that if you think he's gone quiet, well, that's why I'm telling you, he hasn't gone quiet. If you consider that he's gone quiet, then it could well be because he's saying the same thing to you and you're just meant to respond back to that thing, and then that's clear then. So, you know, the thing is, you know, it could be you ask me about your job and like it's, you just got to wait where you are for 2 months and then that's the new one. And you're meant to just go, oh yeah, I heard about that stuff. You're just meant to tell him you got the message. Like, not because you need to tell him to get the message or anything, but just because it might be you're meant to just look at him and say that thing. Or you're meant to go, to him, you know that he loves you. Or he could just meant to go break the thing of not looking him straight in the face. If you haven't done that, you just go, like, I'm here. So what I'm saying is the hunger that's built up is probably to do with the last thing he's been talking to you about. So as a start, if you want to relate to God more, I suggest that you just speak to him about, go straight up to him and speak to him about the thing that you know he's talking to you about. And if you don't know what he's talking to you about, then come up and speak to me. And like, I'm not, I totally shouldn't say this, but I'll find the thing, right? But I encourage you just to do, if that hunger's built up in you, it's because God's put it there, and I encourage you to just talk to him about the thing that he's obviously been talking to you about. And if you just don't know, then come up and I'll speak to you about that. But that's basically it for what I'm saying. It's going to go straight into playing a song, which is going to just go and repeat whilst everybody does what they want to do, responding to this thing that I've said. And then when all that's finished, there'll be bread and wine at the end. So that's the way around it's going to be, because it's just meant to flow. So if you feel you want to, I encourage you just go to the hall by yourself or whatever, and just you split off from everybody else and just do your own thing. And if you have a desire to relate closer to God, then he's put that desire there. So he's put the desire there, so I encourage you to relate to him in that way. Well, that's it.